All right, guys, 1, 2, 3, here we go. Can I get a little motivation, a little energy? I want you to be excited with me. This is Juan Santos over at Counselor's Journey, and we are going to dive into another episode all about teaching you mental health professionals how to A, start, B, grow, C, scale a six-figure counseling private practice without feeling overwhelmed. Let's do it. Let's dive into the episode. All right, I am here with Hector. Hector, how are you?
Doing good, doing good.
Now, Hector, this part of the interview always feel, or it can feel awkward because you and I just got done talking and then now we're jumping into the interview and pretending like we didn't just get done speaking.
No worries.
You are a licensed clinical social worker. So I'd like if you could take some time to share with the audience who you are, where you're at, location-wise, and what got you into the field.
Yeah. So I'm based in Tampa, Florida, right? Tampa area. I've been in the field since 2015. I'm licensed in multiple states, Florida, Texas, Virginia, Utah, Connecticut. And in terms of what brought me into the field, I'd say there's a couple of different contributing factors. I'd say just a quick summary is how other people have made an influence in my life that just motivated me, right, to want to do the same for others. So it led me down a path to pursue a field that would give me the opportunity to do that, right? So that's how I got into social work, and here we are.
That's wonderful. It's always nice to hear that and to see it, you know, where you've had these people in your life and they've maybe shared certain things or done certain things that you've been able to observe and kind of maybe led the way or, you know, pushed you in a certain direction. And I'm assuming now you're doing that for a lot of other people.
Yep. That's essentially what I do 9 to 5, Monday to Friday.
There you go. Batman during the day. And when we talked a little bit about your background as far as family, your dad, share a little bit about that home life.
Yeah. So I'm a dad. I'm a new dad. Funny story, I jumped into private practice when I found out I was going to be a dad. So that's 2021.
That is quite funny.
It's a little bit crazy because, you know, a lot of people sometimes test the waters. And for me, I was just like, you know what? I need more flexibility. I need to be able to provide. And my wife at the time, she was having a very difficult pregnancy. So I'm like, I need to do something that's going to give me a lot more flexibility, a lot more opportunity. And yeah, that's what brought me into private practice. And that was in 2021 when my first daughter was born. And then my second daughter was born at the end of January. So December. So crazy story. She was born, I want to say about 3 minutes after getting to the hospital. So we made it just in time.
Yeah, just in time. Wow. Yeah, that must have been kind of a lot of nervousness probably there, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. So thankfully I didn't stop for gas, but we made it. So everything is okay. Just adjusting to the lack of sleep those first couple of months, as you already know, it can be a little bit challenging, but definitely a very rewarding experience.
Yeah, very, very good words there. Challenging and rewarding, all mixed in there. Your practice, you've been around since 2021, and you are in multiple, like legit multiple states. What areas of practice do you hone in on?
I'd say the focus of what I do in terms of the populations I work with is men's mental health. Mm-hmm. And then I work a lot just with the Hispanic population in general, given that there isn't always a lot of bilingual providers, right, that speak Spanish. So that's something that, you know, I'm very passionate about, just being a resource to the community. And yeah, that's the core of what I do. And then recently started adding immigration evaluations to, you know, my list of services that I offer in my private practice. So definitely your course has been very helpful with that. And it's something that I'm very passionate about because I come from an immigrant family.
Right there with you. I appreciate the plug. So just as a side note, if anyone's listening in, there's a course that I offer focused on teaching mental health practitioners, counselors, social workers, psychologists, all of us in that bunch, how to engage in the service of conducting immigration evaluations. So feel free to look at the show notes to check it out. You know, I'm really curious here. You picked the background of men's health, of the Hispanic population, and you shared why. How do you see that working out, like as far as your caseload?
I'd say my caseload is majority men, right?
Majority men, okay.
So a lot of, I want to say my Psychology Today profiles and just these other therapy directories, a lot of my description, right, and my bio is geared more towards men, right, and just the area of men's mental health. Also just working with the Hispanic population. So yeah, caseload wise, I'd say that's the majority of what I'm seeing. And then just in general, in terms of demographics, yeah, ethnically speaking, a lot of Hispanics, right?
The
caseload.
And then as far as from your end, what strategies, practices are you doing to build your caseload to let the world know, hey, I'm here, doors are open?
Yeah, so a lot of what I do in terms of marketing, right? I have, like I mentioned, my business information on some of these different therapy directories like Psychology Today, Mental Health Match. I also have a website, ariseconnections.org. Social media as well has been helpful. And yeah, just try to do more in terms of raising awareness about men's mental health. And then recently trying to do a little bit more stuff in Spanish too, because I feel that's another thing too. I feel like sometimes there isn't enough mental health content in Spanish as well. Not just for clients, right? But also even for clinicians too.
True.
So that's just something else that I'm looking to do more of, right? Just to be more of a resource, especially when it comes to providing services in Spanish.
What type of, I guess, what have you seen from that? Have you noticed like a positive need from practitioners or the community and wanting that support in Spanish?
I want to say, yeah, especially when it comes to, for example, family therapy, right? Where maybe you have like a parent that only speaks Spanish, right? And then you have the child or the adult child that mainly speaks English, or, you know, they talk Spanglish.
Yep.
So I find myself in session switching back and forth, you know, Spanish, English, Spanglish. It throws me off a little bit with my documentation, right? Because I'm like talking in Spanish and documenting in English. But nonetheless, it's something that I want to say allows for more authentic conversation where people can really just talk the way that they talk at home, right? As if we're having a cafecito, you know, just talking about life.
Yeah. That's a little coffee for if you heard cafecito. Hector's here having some coffee. So Hector, I'm jealous. That's, you know, that's fantastic. It sounds like you're doing a really good job of taking a step back and looking at how can I let others know that I'm here to help? And I've heard Psychology Today. I heard Mental Health Match, social media, your website. Do you, with those, take time to look at or have a strategy to look at? Are they working?
Yeah. So good question. So recently what I've done is I've set up a profile with Google Analytics. I already have Google Workspace as part of my business, but I'm using Google Analytics to have just better insight in terms of traffic sources, right? Where people are coming from when they come to my landing page, where people are maybe aren't spending as much time, right? So I can see like on some of the different pages, right? what people are responding to. Like if they're not spending a lot of time on the page, I can see, okay, well, maybe my copywriting for that page isn't ideal. So, you know, just starting to implement a couple of different things. And definitely I like to follow just what other people are doing. I know you have a course, and I know there's a bunch of other therapists, mm-hmm. right, yeah. that have a lot of valuable resources. So it's an interesting time, right, in today's day and age, because everything's digital. A lot yep. more people are trying to do private practice now, especially after COVID, right? Everyone's yes, trying to yeah. work virtual. So just trying to stay current with the different tools out there.
Wonderful. Yeah, you're definitely going about that in the right direction. I asked that question. I notice often a lot of us, we pay $30 a month or something for different directories. And then we, at some point in the month, you look at your caseload and you're like, oh, well, it must be working. And that's great to look at it that way. But it's a bit different if you go if a little bit deeper and you look at the numbers, like how many emails did I get, how many phone calls, and how many of those maybe didn't leave a voicemail, and did I call them back? And then if I did call them back, did I call them back once? And if you look at other jobs, like a car sales professional, I have a peer of mine, and he'll share with me, you know, I call people back 5-7 times. And, you know, when I first heard that, I was like, wow, that's annoying. That's a lot of times to call somebody. Yeah. But, it's a different mentality there when you're thinking about being a private practice practitioner and then also wearing that hat of sales and marketing.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Good work there. I wanted to ask about the population that you serve. So you work with the Hispanic community and you work with men. Do you see any items there as far as like what's the most consistent area of concern with men, with the Hispanic population?
Yeah, I'd say for a lot of people, and maybe I can focus a little bit just on people that come from an immigrant background. I'd say a lot of it sometimes has to do with stigma, right? So there's stigma about mental health. People that think, oh, this is just for, you know, for crazy people, para la gente loca, you know, they're just thinking maybe, I'd say even in the same way that they think about just medical services, right? So
yeah,
a lot of people with medical services are like, you know, I won't go to the hospital unless I'm dying or unless I need surgery, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes people have that mindset when it comes to mental health, you know, unless I'm at the verge of a breakdown, you know, I'm not going to consult with a professional. So I deal with a lot of stigma. And I say in my background, I'm Salvadorian. And
okay.
My parents, they grew up in war during the 80s. So not to get political or anything, but at the time it was the government backed by the U.S. versus the guerrilla, the guerrilla forces backed by the Soviet Union. And they grew up seeing a lot, you know, just people in terms of being victims of war, right? Death. There was a lot of public executions. There was just a lot of traumatic things that they grew up seeing. And, you know, fast forward a couple of years, they're married, they have kids, right? Me mm-hmm. and my brother. And it's just, there was, my perception was, right, just some things we don't talk about. Gotta, you know, keep it to yourself. Gotta stay strong.
Yeah.
So I'd say that there's a lot of stereotypes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I'd say in my family, things are starting to change. People are more open to the discussion of mental health. But for a lot of families, especially immigrant families that come from very difficult political situations, right? You do immigration evaluations, whether it's, you know, Cuba or a lot of people coming in from Venezuela. There's just a lot that people carry with them. And they come to America and here you are, you know, you're still dealing with the past trauma, but here you are trying to learn a new language. You're trying to provide for your family. There's all these different things and everything's go, go, go that sometimes people forget to take care of themselves, right?
Yeah.
So I just try to normalize the conversation.
Hmm. That's powerful. And I bet you're seeing it from a systemic level. You're seeing it from each individual member of the family. And even, you know, just hearing you, I came to the U.S. when I was about seven. And, you know, just I remember like myself being in a lunchroom and not speaking English. And that, you know, there's a lot of certainly a lot of feelings that went into it, but one of them was lonely. And then hearing, you know, your detail as far as, you know, let's also look at what's going on with the parents, right, with the adult. And I'm sure you're seeing a lot of that when you're serving an individual and perhaps, you know, bridging that conversation to what else is happening with the family system.
Yep. So I try to be just empathetic, right, when it comes to just the different experiences that people come to session with. And I try to just normalize, right, therapy as being a conversation, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it is. It's a conversation. It's not about me just preaching at you, telling you what to do, or just listening. You know, granted, sometimes people want feedback. Sometimes people just want someone that they can talk to. They just want someone to listen to them. But definitely, I tell people it's a conversation. That's what therapy is, a conversation about the things that you've been through, the things that you're trying to work on. So just try to keep it practical, solution focused, right? That's what I tell people. The core of what I do is very solution focused.
Okay. Yeah, you seem very well oriented to the approach that you take, the population that you serve. What do you see up ahead for you? You know, what are your dreams and goals? What do you hope to build?
Yeah, good question. So I'd say for right now, I'm looking to continue to build my skills as a clinician. Aside from that, I'm actually doing my MBA as well. So it's interesting because So I saw one of your videos in terms of private practice, and you said something that got to me, and I'm still going to finish my MBA, by the way, but you mentioned you don't have to get your MBA, right, when it comes to private practice, right? You don't have to go down that path. Obviously, there's things that you can learn, and that's essentially why I started to pursue an MBA. And yeah, that's something that I'm currently doing, to equip myself with tools, to explore entrepreneurship a little bit, explore maybe some potential business ventures. So that's more than anything why I'm pursuing that degree. But yeah, stay busy. And yeah, just a lot of cafecito, café bustelo.
Oh, te gusta el bustelo. You know, I remember drinking that a lot growing up with my parents. The Bustelo, and one of those like older, I guess, metal looking pots, you know, the kind of you screw. It's a bottom and a top, little metal tray in the middle.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I'm curious, as you're doing all of this and you're building, who's helping you, business wise? You know, where are you leaning at?
Yeah, so definitely a good question. And, you know, shout out to my wife. She's been very supportive when it comes to just my private practice, especially when it comes to, you know, sometimes she's had to take on the role of being my assistant. Recently, that's essentially what she's been doing. She's done it on and off, but most recently she's been helping me out with phone calls, emails. Aside from that, she's an RN too, so she's very knowledgeable when it comes to health, and definitely she understands just the importance of mental health, so she's been a major resource when it comes to that. And then also just helping me just have ideas about how to approach different things. I also have a couple of other friends that are not necessarily in the mental health field, but very business oriented. And I want to say kind of have that mindset, kind of like what you mentioned earlier with people that work in sales, right? People that work in as car salesman. I have a friend that works in real estate, and same type of mindset. Just like if it was any other industry, you see people show this dedication when it comes to their craft, right? And what they do. And when it comes to marketing, when it comes to sales. And I'd say sometimes when it comes to private practice, people maybe feel a little bit guilty, right? That maybe they don't know how to do that ethically in the field of mental health. Yep. So something that I've learned is just how to engage with that, right? Yeah. And be able to promote what I do in a way as a resource to people, right? So whether you end up doing therapy with me or someone else, my thing is get the help that you need.
Yes.
Talk to someone.
Yeah. That, you know, I think that sometimes it could be lost where you're building this practice and you're doing the work and being okay with knowing that somebody could reach out to you and it may not be a good fit, you know, and that doesn't mean you're a bad clinician. That doesn't mean you're bad at your job, but you could still be in that space, a great resource. And with it, it's important for us to remember, you know, our foundation, you know, clinically it's advocacy, right? It's, hey, you know, if I'm not the counselor you want to work with, that's okay. Let me tell you about this other person that's really helpful or this agency that can do a good job. So we are always supporting. I love that you really, you know, highlighted that and spoke on it. It's not something that I hear. I hear enough.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot that goes into it. I just try to be practical, down to earth with people. And I like to tell people that, especially whenever I do the consults. And yeah, just try to have, you know, healthy communication with the people that I work with, and yeah, just happy and grateful to be where I'm at.
Wonderful. I see that and I hear that in your voice. Now, Hector, as we finish off for today, is there any take-home messages you want listeners to take from you? Anything you'd like to share with them, maybe that you're doing, or you know, ways they can contact you?
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to just some takeaways, I tell people whether you come from an immigrant family or you don't, right? And you're a clinician and you're working with this population. I tell people just empathy, right? Empathy. Just try to see where they're coming from. Have some compassion. You don't have to know the country's history or all the customs, but have some empathy when it comes to how you're interacting with people and your communication. And yeah, that's pretty much my takeaway when it comes to just working with the immigrant population and just with anyone in general. In terms of reaching out, ariseconnections.org definitely is the best way to get a hold of me. And I can definitely share the link with you, Juan, so that way you can maybe share that if you want. And
yeah.
You can always also reach out to my assistant at info@ariseconnections.org via email. And yeah, just try to make myself available to people. I appreciate you giving me this time. It went by pretty quick.
It goes by quick, doesn't it?
Yep.
But I really appreciate the time as well. I'm sure the listeners gained a lot of value. And hey, I like doing this. I like getting to know people and, you know, just adding lives together and knowing that if I need some support, I can reach out and doors are open this way too. Hector, thank you so much for being a guest here.
Definitely. Thanks for having me.
As you head out today, guys, I want you to give yourself a big old hug, a big old high five, because listen, you're doing it. You're taking time out of your day to build your six-figure private practice. You are tapping into ambition. You're tapping into curiosity, and you're doing it here together. We're holding hands. We're walking on this journey. A private practice journey. Before you head off, do me a kindness, leave me a review. Let me know what you think about this episode. Let me know which episode really stuck out to you. Which one made you go, yes, I need to start doing a little bit more of that. Or yes, I am doing that and I'm proud of myself for doing that. I am seeing amazing changes. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to growing together on our journey.